good afternoon to you. Welcome to Architects World. This is your number one talk news and sports radio station here in Port Harcourt, Nigeria, Info FM. You know what we get to do every Tuesday at this time. We get to delve into that world of design. We talk architectural designs, how to care for our buildings, what to do, what to look out for, etc. And I'm not the authority in this field. You know that every Tuesday I bring you the one and only architect, Epi Bosimo, the world famous celebrity architect, one and only. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. I'm glad to be here, but sometimes you want to come and add a different perspective and a wonderful voice. So today I'm not here alone. I have with me architect Emaobong Akpan, and she is an authority on many of these things, among other things. Hi.
Hi, Ebi. How you doing?
Great to be here.
You're welcome. Glad to have you here as well.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I'm not ignored when girls start talking, but let's do this.
Let's see how that goes, yeah?
Okay.
Let's see how that goes. Are you great with girls?
I am blessed among the two of them.
Exactly.
Nice way to look around my question. I see what you do there. I see. It's okay. I'll let it pass. Welcome once again.
Thank you.
All right. So today on Architects World, we're going to be talking about something quite interesting. The architect's role in building finishes. I didn't know architects had a role in that.
Absolutely. You see, every time you go into a space, you can get one of at least two impressions. One, the project is looking pretty ordinary, or you get impressed by, wow, everything here seems to be well put together. The lines are orderly, the spacing is proper. That happens when an architect is involved, because there's something jokingly called the architect's curse. It is in our DNA to organize spaces and items. Anytime you see an architect with these things, everything will be lined up. They'll try and make sure that things are parallel. It's in us. And that is the same skill that we're taught right from school, to look at things, make sure that they're properly distributed, properly spaced, properly aligned. And that is very important when it comes to building finishes. You can get your materials from anywhere. If you don't have the oversight of the professionals involved. I don't know whether you've ever been in a room where there is a lamp on a wall and you're sitting on the chair and the lamp is slightly off center. It is slightly irritating, because you know that ideally this thing should have been just 6 inches to the left, but because it's not there, it's making other things not perfectly aligned. That is the kind of thing where an architect is involved. We take dimensions, we distribute spaces appropriately. Otherwise, your finishes are what you interact with on the building, whether it's the floor you're standing on, the walls that you see, or the ceilings in the space. Those are the main places where your finishes are. And the architect has a role in, first of all, up front, selecting and specifying those finishes. And then when the process of procurement is done and the things are delivered to the site, the architect is now the person who specifies exactly how they should be. Look at this beautiful studio, for instance. Everything here, there was a theme. I know what this was like before it became visual. The whole place was transformed. And now you have, whether you have the sound reduction qualities, you have everything properly placed, distributed. This was done because somebody sat down and thought of every single thing that needs to be done, place them appropriately. So you walk in here and it all seems proper and normal, but it could have gone very wrong otherwise.
Interesting. Yeah, you want to answer that?
Come in here. Have you ever walked into a room and you open the door and you're looking for the light switch at night?
Yeah.
It's annoying wherein it's not properly placed. The normal thing is when you swing open the door, the opposite side of the wall is where you turn on. So you come in and you just touch in the dark and you just turn it on. But I've been in spaces wherein you walk in and you need to go behind the door to turn it on.
And sometimes the other end of the room.
Exactly.
What's the point?
Yeah, so things like that are where we come in. Do you understand? It's not just a place looks fine. It's that a place is functional for the end user of that space. That way you come in and you're able to navigate the space with minimal issues, do you understand? And you actually, it becomes fluid for you to be in that space. You move from one space, from one place to another within the space, or even sit down and you're able to actually interact with the room, and there is mentally up there, you understand? There is no discord because everything just seems to flow.
To work in accord.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, this functionality, like you're both talking about, is very essential. Do you think that people are aware, are conscious of the importance of this functionality?
I would say when it's not there, you immediately see the signs. If you enter a space where there are a whole lot of extension cables, it means that the people who did that space did not think of how the space would be used. And so the owner typically has to make do. They have an extension cable plugged into another extension cable with this and that. Those do what? They lead to trip hazards. When an architect plans a space, you think of who is going to use it, how they're going to use it, where the various things are going to be, so that you put the appropriate maybe sockets and so on, so that anywhere you're seated, you have access to what you need, especially in today's world where we are constantly charging devices. It is really nice when you enter a space and where you have your plug is at hand, rather than you're sitting down on the couch and your phone rings, you have to bolt out of your chair and dash to go and pick up a phone at the other end of the room. Even those things, what happens at the electrical engineer, of course, is a specialist in those sockets and all that. But we always review all of the drawings together, the architectural layout, the electrical layout, mechanical, and make sure that what they intend to put in, they know the rating of the socket, but I'll tell them, this socket should be right here because in future there'll be a couch right here. And on the left and the right of the couch, there might be little side tables. I want to have a lamp here. And I want to, you know, the TV will be over there. So make sure you embed a TV point in the wall at, 1.5 meters above the ground, so that the TV will just look as if it's floating. I also don't like it when you enter a house and see that trunking going up from the ground up. I know it happens. People move into homes that are not theirs and they make it work, but it's ideal when everything looks like it was thought of before. And why these finishes become critical also, it could be your life, your safety. There is a time when maybe rain is falling. If you use the wrong finishes at the entrance of your building, you might be trying to rush out. And when you step on a floor that has a material that is too slippery, it could lead to you slipping and falling or spraining your ankle or something. And that's going to cost you time, energy, effort, and money because you'll not be at your best for some time. So even the type of material that you select for a given space has to be the appropriate finish. Finishes are not just on the floor. Take your kitchen cabinet.
Yeah.
Sometimes people have concrete. Concrete can retain organic material. Even if you scrape it, there are always microbes that can be there. But on a good, you know, selection, you could use things like granite, you could use corian, you could use some other materials that will ensure that you keep the most sanitary conditions around your kitchen, which you want because you are preparing food.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, we have spaces like public spaces, for example, and the choice of materials used in those places should consider the, for example, the floor, the traffic. Just a pattern of I've been to places and I see traffic marks, do you understand? So because the material that was chosen wasn't high traffic friendly, do you understand? Right. So it shows over time the traffic pattern, do you understand, where people tread on. But the thought went into it ahead of time to select which material is used for that, this space, who is going to use it, how many people are we expecting in this space, then that thought also would help to choose the material you would use. That 10 years down the line, it's as though you just installed that material because it's the right one for the right space, for the right use.
Wow. I mean, all of this makes it sound quite interesting, the job of the architect.
It's what, fortunately, we do with pleasure. It's that attention to detail that defines architects. it's, you know, I've always said that it's not as if people haven't from time just gone ahead and expended their time, effort, energy and money to produce space. Nobody's saying that without us people don't build, but what you find is that you would get much more refinement. The same money or even less than you would spend, because sometimes you do things and you make mistakes and you have to correct them. Mm-hmm. But with a professional, you get it right the first time. You have very few instances where you get it wrong, because we always do things virtually first. We'll typically lay out things in drawings. We'll test one or two ideas, come to a point where it works, and then we'll transfer that. So you're having the benefit of doing it, making, if you want to call them mistakes, at the cheapest time in virtual space. Now with computers, we're using computers, you can actually simulate what the spaces will look like way before you put one hammer to the surface. You're able to, you know, use that simulation to actually drive the ordering process, the procurement process, and you can minimize waste. What does waste entail? Money. So by working with the people who have the skills and the tools up front, you are saving yourself time and money, especially money. Mm. Because even the total quantum of material you might use in a given space, we may be able to compute it and ensure that we minimize wastage. So materials have a certain dimension. So when I know that dimension, I might now design the space in such a way that I buy exactly the correct number of things rather than buying more and then trimming here or cutting there. And that waste, you might not have much you can do with it. Why waste it?
And even when you have to have offcuts and waste, it can be planned in such a way that it's part, it forms part of the aesthetic appeal of the space.
Now, it's obviously safe to say that, you know, the architect is the manager of a building project, considering other roles that they play, you know, when carrying out such a project. Now, what are some of the things that people need to know, people who want to embark on a building project need to know when it comes to engaging an architect or a group of architects in carrying out that project?
You're right. The architect is, of course, commissioned by the owner, and then they work in a team, because the architect has their specialization. You know, we envision, we depict, we design, but we have to work carefully with other professionals, depending on the size of the project. But the minimum you expect your architect to work with is your electrical and your mechanical engineer. And for the cost elements, you work with your quantity surveyor. So what an owner has to understand is this. The fear, you know, many people have is architects or all those professionals are expensive. I understand. But if you look at your project as one of the most significant places you will spend money, then you want to reduce the risks you're experiencing. And when you look at your building team as an investment in your safety, your security, your minimizing of your waste and all that, then you will approach it in that way. And the best done project now can last much longer and be handed over to your progeny. Mm. But if you do it poorly now, they will now take on a liability later on, and they might actually wonder, why did dad or mom do this? Mm. We could have done it differently. So the money you spend now is always going to be cheaper than the money you would spend later on. Working with architects is actually very easy, because it's normally a conversation that starts it. We are some of, you know, unlike blessed doctors that we all know and love, you typically go to an architect when you are in the least form of pain. You're actually at the point where you have, you know what, I have an idea and I'd like to explore. And the architect is always going to welcome you, and you can now explore. Like my other colleague would say, we have the license to dream. Everybody can dream, but we have the license to depict it. So we can coordinate all your ideas, show you a few options, of course, always guided by the standards, because sometimes somebody has an idea, but there are certain standards that must guide human spaces. And that is where we defend you going down the line.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I totally agree, because you have a client and he starts talking with you. In fact, I see us sometimes as psychologists, because they come to you and they're like, okay, I have this problem. That's how it starts. I want to build this, but I don't know how to go about it. So we talk you through your problem. Okay, this and that and that. And then we're like, okay, have you tried? Can we try this way? Can we try? That's why most times if an architect gives you a design, it's usually more than one option. Do you understand? We give you one or two and we're like, okay, which one? Both of them, in our opinion, seems to fit your bill in terms of the idea that you had. But of course, for us, one fits it much better, but the choice is eventually yours, because the idea came from you. So you get to have the final say in what it is that we do. So if we go back to our topic of finishes now, when we meet with the client and we're talking about this, a client might say, oh, I like my floor shiny. Everywhere shiny, you know, polished. And we're like, bathroom? No.
Because of water.
Because of hazard, because of water. Do you understand? I have some clients who are elderly and we're like, no, age-wise, no. Shiny doesn't work for you. It's fine, but functionality for your age,
right,
it doesn't work. If it's a younger couple with children who weepy and they slide across the floor, it works for them. But as you get older, you need to begin to consider certain things. Use, like we keep saying, end use. I mean, there's something that that we don't do over here that we need to begin to look at, and that's post-occupancy evaluation.
Completely.
You understand? When people move into a space, as actors, we actually need to take time and say, okay, the space that we built for you, that we specified for you, how is it working for you? Because if for us, it's still a learning curve. That feedback helps us for the next project. It's something we don't do that we need to begin to look at. Do you understand?
Completely.
Okay, yes, we specified this for you. You might have agreed to it, but sometimes we sell the idea to you. Is it really working the way we said it would work for you?
Why is that not working here, by the way?
Very often, people may not see that the architectural and client relationship need not stop at the point where the project is handed over.
That's right. True.
Actually, like she said, we study things like psychology and sociology and so on in school. So we are already tuned towards trying to extract some of the emotional and other less obvious elements that would make your design work for you. By the time you've done a project for somebody, once the communication is there, you can always still go back and knock on the door and say, you know what, I'd like to know one or two things about what, you know, how is your project working for you? Many times people are, you know, in our society, once a man closes his gates, that's it. Almost, you might almost not have access again.
Yeah.
But as long as we maintain the good relationships, there should be opportunity to do so. But they cost a little bit of money. The architects would obviously provide the staff and all that. And depending on people's convenience, they could do it. The point is not that they haven't been done, but many more need to be done. They are not done often as we ought to do them. But some are done. And, you know, the learning from that, it goes into either academic papers or, of course, into practice, you know, documentation.
All right. So at this point, we're going to take a very quick break. And when we return, we'll open the phone line so you can call in and ask whatever questions that you might have. Don't go away. Welcome back to Architects World. This is your number one talk news and sports radio station, Nigeria Info PH. Well, we've got about 25 minutes or so left for the conversation. So if you've got questions or thoughts you'd like to share, now is your chance to do so. The numbers to call are 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003. You can also call 0817-923-0007 or 0817-923-0009. On WhatsApp, it's 0809-030-6416. We're also streaming live on Facebook, so you can join the conversation on Facebook at Nigeria Info 92.3 PhD. We're talking about the architect's role in building finishes. And it's been a very interesting conversation so far. Today, I do not have just architect Ebi Bosim, as I always do. We've got a very beautiful lady to the extreme right. Architect Ima Bong is here as well. And it's been a very interesting conversation with her on the show, talking about, you know, their role in building finishes.
Absolutely. So, I mean, people will be maybe curious about exactly how we carry that out. As I say, it starts first from the specification stage, and the specifications are guided by the standards. So based on what people need to do to stay safe, we'll specify, you procure, the materials are brought to site. Mm. And then there are specialists, all sorts of tradespeople, whether they're carpentry or tiling or POP or paint, all those finishes have specialists. They are normally drawings done to show, you know, apart from maybe the drawings that people are familiar with, where you have the walls and doors, there are normally finishing drawings where you are showing exactly where even the joints are supposed to be based on the spaces designed. But, you know, there's always tolerance in construction. There's a tiny tolerance, and there could be slight movement of some walls and other surfaces. So it is in that supervision process where you have the architects overseeing the construction that you now make sure that everything that was designed is installed as intended.
Now, let me quickly ask you this, Architect Ima Bong. Is it, would you say that this role that you play as an architect in finishing of a building applies to every kind of building, be it residential, commercial, it could be a school, whatever? Would you say this applies to every kind of building?
Yes, not just to every kind of building, but every space within the building. As long as it was designed by the architect, it was specified by the architect still plays a role in, especially the stage that he called his provision when it's actually been implemented. Right. Now, have you ever had an experience wherein someone came to hang your curtain and they use what we call eye gauge? And they're like, okay, you can put the hole there, put the hole there. And then when they hang it, you see it's cute.
Yeah.
And you're like, I had it happen to a friend of mine. Fortunately, I was there at his place when he was being hung. And I asked him, do you have a level, a spirit plumb? And they said, no. And I asked my friend, do you have one? He said, yes, okay, fine. So okay, measure that. Measure from here to there. Plumb this, plumb that. We drew a line. So it was with that line they drew. And when the person came and said, madam, how? I said, I'll be architect.
That's the thing.
And the end result came out well, because that little attention to detail, do you understand, is where supervision comes in. I mean, I've seen light switches and it's slightly, just a little, okay, put it up and screw it here. They're like, madam, I don't know, do I'm for many years. I don't know, do I'm, it's not yet.
True.
You understand? So that's so we, because it started out as our idea, we already see it long before every other person has seen it. So if you're giving me what I didn't see, I know, I pick it up immediately, and I'm like, no, put it here, put it there, adjust it this way a little bit more. I mean, I came from a place wherein ladies as my daughters that trained me, and the first lady I worked with, she used to be called a witch. Why? Because she could come into a space and she'll tell you that wall is not straight.
Whoa.
And by the time you plumb it, do you understand? It's not straight. Her eyes was as good as any plumb. So I learned that from her, to come into a space and you can just look, and I'm like, there's something wrong. Something wrong. I can't place, but it's not right. Do you understand? That's a skill that you learn over time. And it's something that you keep doing it, you get better at it. So it's our training, and it's something that we practice. So if we say we should do it, it's not because we say we want to do it and you're paying us for it. It's because we've been trained for it.
To do it,
we have practiced it over time. We've honed our skills on it. So when we do eventually execute it on your behalf, you get the best of both worlds.
Fantastic. I do know the walls in here are straight, though, aren't they?
Yes. You know, your proprietor is an architect. Oh, so, yeah. You know, this is why we are very comfortable in here.
Oh, yeah. I know you want to add to that.
No, I mean, she's right. It's something that comes with practice. It's something that comes with the innate inner sense of rightness, but dimensionality, about spacing. Everything in this space, for instance, is exemplary. Even how they cut away the, you know, to accommodate various things is deliberate. Mm-hmm. Nothing, that AC is centered between two places. It didn't just happen. Mm-hmm. It was so that there'll be a mirror effect there. And that look there.
Ah.
You notice how they could have to one side, mm-hmm. but they made it in the middle, then cut away. Mm-hmm. It's things like that that show that somebody has been very deliberate.
Yeah.
And it is that deliberateness that distinguishes a project that has the professionals involved from one that doesn't.
Mm. Wow, amazing. Well, if you've got questions, please, by all means, call in and ask. The numbers again are 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003. You can also call 0817-923-0007 or 0817-923-0009. The WhatsApp number is 0809-030-6416. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Please, I just want to, I have a question for the architects in the studio right now.
Go ahead.
My name is Christian. I'm calling from Attila. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, my question is, actually, I've always wanted to study architecture, but I don't know the requirement it will require me in school.
Basically, architecture is one of those courses that many people could study, whether you are doing all science or the arts, because it is both a science that incorporates artistic elements. So I think for me, at the time we studied, you just had to have one science course with a physics or something. You could have done it with, you know, literature, English and all that. At the end of the day, depending on the curriculum of the school, you would, of course, look through what they require. But it's a creative course. And even in pulling people in, there is creativity attached to it. As long as you have a leaning towards the aesthetic, towards, you know, the environment, and you understand that you have a major responsibility as an architect for things that are trending, like global warming, you'll be very much at home studying architecture. Just check out, you know, Google, of course, is always your first friend, and then you can specifically go into what certain colleges may require.
Yeah. Oh, all right. I'd like that you expand a little bit more on the supervision.
Right.
When it comes to building finishes.
Right. It's like the third stage. What happens in architecture generally worldwide? So you have the schematic design where you are communicating the idea to the owner and you are getting buy-in. Then after that, you have the second stage where you are now producing construction documents. That's the documents and drawings that would be used to actually build the project. And those are submitted for approval and all that. Then you come to site and you start with the fundamental work. The finishing stage is you've done what is typically properly called the building frame, but people call it the carcass.
Yeah.
So you have the structural elements, columns, beams, lintels, walls, and you, the building, the structure is standing. Then it's now time to apply what will make this particular space look the way and function the way it will. Those are the finishes. Because two rooms of identical size could cost vastly different based on what specification of material is inside. Inside one room, you could have PVC tiles. Inside that same size of room, you could have granite tiles. Of course, those two rooms are going to cost different. It's also going to mean one material has certain requirements in terms of the door swing, the other one doesn't. So it is from the specification, you determine what you're supervising, and it is that supervising stage that you go ahead and describe it to an expert.
Okay. Like he said, where you have PVC and then you have granite, the thickness of those materials are different. So the screed level you would require on the floor for each of those rooms to be different. But the bottom line is your door height isn't changing.
Mm.
So even though your door is not changing, your floor level for the carcass, as they say, is different, so that by the time you're done, everything is at the same level. Mm-hmm. You walk into this room and you're not stepping down or stepping up into a room because that was properly
considered.
Yes, and also it was supervised, because we have sometimes spaces that flow from one to the other. Do you understand? And different materials are used. You could use tile in one, you could use granite in another. Do you understand? Mm. And the two rooms are connected, but the choice of material is different.
Right.
You need to supervise that way the levels are such that by the time you apply the finished material, you still have an even flow. Nobody's tripping over something. Mm. Do you understand? I mean, we wear heels and your heel gets caught in something. You're on the floor. So that eye, that attention to detail is always key when it comes to that stage of work.
Amazing. Now, does it cost more to have the architect follow through to finishing?
Yes. Professional services cost money, but as I say, there is a way you look at that money that you will spend. You could spend it in doing something that gives you a permanent annoyance. So every time you enter the space, you just kick your toe and you stumble and you continue. It's your choice. But when you have a professional, like the architect and other professionals involved, they have taken over the liability for perfection. And that is what you're paying them for. And so you have a right to demand that they do the work as they are expected to. Normally, you wouldn't even have to demand from a professional, because we know what our work scope should cover.
Mm-hmm.
And once you are paying us, we are doing the work so that it's like air. When it's done right, you don't notice it. It's when it's done wrong, like that light switch behind the door. Every day, look, it's your house. You're going to reach behind that door and put on the light switch. But honestly, in your mind, anytime you visit a proper space or a good hotel and you open the door and the lights, you always say, Kai, that's my house. Anyway, but it's your house. You're not going to jump out of your house. But you could have avoided that permanent irksome sensation by working with a professional. So it'll cost money. But again, that money you spend in professionals is investing in your own safety, your own convenience, and your own, you know, the best quality of life for yourself over the long term.
I'd like to come in here, yes. You see, it might, and if, let's not say might, it will cost you money for an actor to supervise for you. But when the right thing is done with supervision, maintenance costs is less. Then there is no need to redo the project again in 5 years, because suddenly your eye has opened and you now know. You save that money up front by paying a fraction of it for an architect to supervise. So that's fantastic. It's now your choice to choose between you pay it now, you save it later, or you pay it later and it costs you more.
And the inconvenience of work being redone when you are using a space,
that's something,
it actually exceeds the naira cost. When the best time to work on a project is when it's still a project site.
Mm-hmm.
So the spaces are open, you can bring in a long ladder, you're not worried, but by the time
you're not worried about your kids.
Yes. By the time you are functioning inside a space, first of all, you are telling people to go away and they are very curious, they're coming, there are dangers involved with almost any kind of work. So you have children maybe in the space, you don't want that. You have the inconvenience of not being able to access your own space. That costs you. It may not be direct cost in your hand, but it's costing you something, and it's avoidable.
All right, so back to the phone lines now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're welcome.
My name is Michael. I'm calling from Aba.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the discussion. I do house painting, so I'm enjoying what the architects are saying. I want to ask the audience here. Why is it that many of you architects do not pay attention to the feeling aspect of the finishing of the wall? What you call screening. Why? Because from my experience, many of the houses I've painted, I've discovered that when it comes to wall screening, many of you architects do not pay attention to that. Then two, I've also discovered that many of the architects will sell centers who will charge them very cheap. instead of painters who will do works like as professionals. So why is it so among you architect engineers? And then three, how do you regard painters as those that contribute to beautifying the work of an architect? Thank you.
Michael, thank you very much for the question.
Okay, first of all, I would definitely not know what kind of projects he's been involved with. But walls creating is actually one of the fundamental things an architect is going to specify before we apply the paint. So I really, as I said, we were talking on the phone. I'm glad he called in. But typically, on any jobs we do, we understand the value of screening, not just for the smoothness of the finish, but it also protects the project from water entering the wall. To the idea of architects prefer cheap painters, many times the budget of the project is fixed by the owner. It's not about the architect looking for a cheap painter. There's a cost envelope, but you will always get the best person you can get for that budget.
On your budget.
Absolutely.
Right.
And what was the last thing you said?
That was actually the last. I would like
he
to add
the
something.
Value, he said the value of... We had a show on this station where we talked about the value of paint. Paint is the most simple, most expressive thing you can do to change the fundamentals of the project. So they are very, very valuable on the project. As long as they can do the work properly. Not everybody holds a paintbrush. Is a very efficient painter, that too.
Oh, yeah.
I actually want to add something also. He said something about us architects not valuing painters and as artisans. We are not painters, architects. So we do not claim to know everything about the intricacies of what goes into painting. Our job is to actually have a broad overview of every single skill set that goes into putting that building into place. You understand? So that's why we rely on skilled artisans to finish the job for us. So if you say, if he says the architects he's been opportune to work with are not experienced enough, please don't hold it against them. It's a learning curve for that architect at that point in time. And if he puts his head down and learns at that time, that mistake that was made then would not be made again.
So
we are not the perfect, you know it all.
Not at all. It's always teamwork from the skilled workers. We have painters, we have plumbers, we have electricians, we have carpenters. Those are some of the main skills that we always rely on because they do what they do very well. But we direct them on what to do.
Now,
and so it's teamwork.
This will be my final question because we're out of time. In a situation where the owner of the project is not in sync with what you are suggesting as the professional, what do you do at that time? How do you, you know, find a middle ground?
It's always based on communication. It's part of our responsibility to be able to marshal the facts and the points to make them understand their advantages and whatever disadvantages may be, and also make them understand what risks they may run if they don't do the things right way. Like we discussed earlier, if you don't do your finishes properly, you may move into the building, but you have a higher chance of assorted failures, higher costs of maintenance. There are
your
so many
words.
Things.
That's so funny.
But it is what it is. And again, you have your building, you're doing it there, but you might also not be meeting the ideal standard for what type of building you're doing. Mm. As we say, many times we think of houses, but architects are involved in so many other kind of buildings, commercial buildings, offices, hospitals, stores. In those ones, it's almost not acceptable not to do what the exact standard is. It's even in personal residences that people can say, look, at this point, I spent all I can spend. But very often, even if they can't do it now, they will often contact you later. So it's all about communication. They'll contact you later. It might just not be as convenient or cheap to do it later as when you could have done it when the whole project was available for you.
I'd like to add also that as professionals, when you have a client who's telling you, okay, I want to do it this way, after you have made your case with them and look, it's not right, it's not this, if they still insist, and if you want to stay on the project, then you have to have them put it in writing that, look, I heard you, but this is what you want me to do. Mm. So can you sign off on this? So that, because we have our integrity to protect. Mm-hmm. So that tomorrow he doesn't turn and say, but I said, and I'll go, no, you signed off on this.
Right.
I advised you against it, but you insisted and you signed off on it.
Mm. And the way we do that is that we write the letter. So that we're not waiting for you to write the letter. Mm. We write the letter, say the facts, and it'll be delivered by registered mail. Mm. So it's not the case you didn't see it. Mm-hmm. It's delivered. Normally, even if we're sitting side by side, I would ask them to bring one of those three-letter companies to deliver it to you, and it must be signed for. Mm. So it's on my records that I said.
Officially.
But one thing is for sure, it might be a matter of you have a way you want to do it. What no professional will do is allow you to do something that is substandard. Mm-hmm. In that case, we'll step off the job. We will never allow it. But if you have a different way of doing that, it's not substandard, but it's not ideal. We could work with you there, but not substandard. Substandard is against the law and the rule. We'll never allow substandard work go out. That's what you can guarantee.
The bottom line is lives could be at risk.
Life safety, always.
Yeah.
Mm. Always.
Wow. Thank you so much, architects,
thank
for joining
you.
Me on the show. I mean, I feel better, you know. I mean, on Architects World, it makes me feel like I myself am an architect, because when I go out there, I go with this knowledge and I say, huh, no, this shouldn't be.
That's
the wall is not straight.
Exactly. We just want all of us to open our eyes to the environment in which we live and ask good questions wherever you are working on something. It's your right to be safe. Every space you inhabit.
True.
I actually read that you are only aware of the things that you are conscious of. We drive past certain things and you don't notice it, but the moment your attention is drawn to it, every single time you drive past something, you're like this, you're like that, like this, like
say
that.
Say it again. Like, you're only aware of the things that
you're conscious of.
That's a very profound statement. Amazing. Let's have your social media handles for people to reach you on.
Okay. I can be reached at Ebi Bozimo on the normal channels. Mm. At Ebi Bozimo.
All right.
I'm not so fortunate because my name is a bit popular. So on Facebook, I'm Ima Bong Akban. On Instagram, and I'm at Akima Nse.
Okay.
Those are my major social media handles.
Thank you so much for being here, Architect Ebi Bozimo, as always. And to you as well, Architect Ima Bong. I do hope we get to see you again.
I hope so.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for having me.
Always a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you so much.
Have yourselves a lovely afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. So 3 o'clock happens in 5 minutes. Rivers Today. Right after that, Dial, Tiki, and Hard Facts. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.